Hello, Abraham. In an effort to understand who you are, there's three different terms that come to mind. One of them is the collective conscious, the other is unified field, and the other is God. Can you differentiate between the three?
Not really. The label is unimportant. The words that we use most often to describe ourselves to this advanced crowd of leading edge thinkers is, we are source energy. We are that which the broader part of you is. And that would be the definition of all of those other things that you named too. In other words, the words don't matter very much. You have to acknowledge that. Let's start in another place. So many people balk at the idea of God, and we don't use that word very much because God means many different things to many different people, and it almost never means what we mean. In other words, it's a word that has been misused so much. It's a little bit like what we said earlier about your mother shouting at you, "Don't you know I love you," when she'd really like to just tear you apart. "Don't you know I love you?" And people use God in that context too. They use the word God, which from our perspective means love in the purest of form, and they use it in hateful ways. They use it as clubs to beat each other about the head and neck, in other words. And so we don't usually use the word God because it evokes within people a vibration that makes it harder for them to come into alignment with who we really are and what we really mean by it. So the label is not so important. But every process we offer and every word we speak is toward assisting you in turning and coming into alignment with that which is God, with that which is Source, with that which is the evolving you, with that which is this stream of consciousness, this stream of well-being, this pure positive energy. The words are endless, aren't they? Esther, when she first began receiving us, she didn't know what to make of us because she had very little experience. Jerry had been reading the Seth material, and Esther found it interesting. Not particularly moving, but interesting. And then they visited a woman. Her name was Sheila, is Sheila, and she was expressing for an entity, she used the word entity, named Theo. And Esther went reluctantly because she didn't like that crazy stuff. She didn't know anyone who meditated. She thought it was weird. She knew a few people who saw auras, and they made it a point never to be around them again. In other words, they just found metaphysical people to be off their rockers a little bit, and they were business people, and so they avoided them. And when Jerry would tell stories of his Ouija board experiences, Esther would get up and leave the table because she didn't want to hear them. In other words, she really did not want anything to do with her perception of what all of this was. And as Esther sat in the room that day, as Jerry plied Theo with his list of questions that he'd saved up for a very long time, Esther felt an opening of her being and a renewal of love unlike anything that she'd ever experienced in her life. It was a coming home beyond anything that she ever thought was possible. She was changed just from sitting in the room that day. So as Esther experienced that, now her instructions were, she asked the question, she said, "Can we come back the next day?" Because Jerry had used all of that 30 minutes, and now Esther had some questions. And so they went back the next day, and Jerry used a lot of that too. He had many, many questions. But Esther asked, "What can we do to more effectively achieve our goals?" And Theo said, "Affirmations." And Esther said, "Like what?" And Theo said, "I, Esther Hicks, see and draw to me through divine love those beings who seek enlightenment through my process. The sharing will elevate us both now." And as she said those words, it just resonated deeply within her. It seemed to speak to everything that Esther and Jerry were about. In other words, there was nothing that they liked more than the idea of uplifting. And the word divine was really a nice word. It sounded sort of like God rather than devil. And So Esther began immediately using that affirmation. She speaks it every day to this day. And Esther said, what else? And Theo said, meditation. Well, that was a little freaky to Esther. She thought of beds of nails and walking on hot coals and standing on the airport with one foot with your hand out begging for money. And so the idea of meditation did not appeal to Esther at all. And she said, what do you mean by meditation? And Theo said, sit in a comfortable, quiet room and wear comfortable clothing and focus on your breathing. And when your mind wanders, and it will, release the thought and focus back on your breathing. And Esther was hooked. She was hooked with the feeling of that. She was hooked with the feeling. It was a feeling. The words did not matter. The feeling of it was what mattered. Esther wanted more of that. They got in their car. On the second day, they went directly home. They pulled the drapes in the living room. They put on their bathrobes and sat in comfortable chairs. Theo had encouraged them to do it together, and it was a little too weird because it was weird. And so they sat in wing-back chairs so they couldn't see each other with an edge air between them. And Esther set a timer for 15 minutes and focused upon her breathing, in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. And right away, she felt a detachment from life as she knew it. She felt a numbness, but more important, she felt a loving presence. She felt a feeling of well-being unlike anything that she had ever felt before. She had never felt it in church. She had never felt it in the football game. She had never felt it in the middle of anything. And yet there it was, the most real sensation of love and well-being that she had ever felt. The timer went off and she said to Jerry, let's do it again. And Jerry, who has known Esther to be all or nothing, said, all right, and off they went again and again. Esther was enveloped with this sensation of love and well-being. She could not tell her foot from her nose. She did not have words. There were no words. There were no labels. It was a feeling that was undeniable. It was a feeling of well-being that defied every single thing that she'd ever heard about anything that was metaphysical. Esther remembers years before accidentally stumbling into a metaphysical bookstore where she could smell incense, and she could not get out of there fast enough. She was sure that the devil lurked around every corner in there. In other words, it freaked her out to even be in there. And now she's right smack dab in the middle of meditation, for heaven's sakes. And she is wrapped around with the feeling of what she knows must be good and must be God. In other words, no words, just knowing, you see. The timer went off. She said, let's do it again. And this time, toward the end of that 15-minute segment, she felt something breathe her. It felt like she was a billows and something so big and so wonderful and so powerful was breathing life into her and out of her, in and out, in and out. And when it stopped, her teeth buzzed for an hour because she knew that she had experienced something so loving and so big and so powerful, she never again wondered and she never cared about the label. And then she meditated every day. For about 15 or 20 minutes, for about 9 months, they both did. They sat quietly, and nothing like that happened again. But what always happened was that feeling of loving presence, that feeling of well-being. It became the highlight of their day. It was the time when they most felt as they truly are. And then, once she began receiving for a long time, many, many months, we were expressing vibrationally to Esther. And as she would translate the thought at an unconscious level, just as she's doing here today, she would think it was her own thought. And her instructions had been, when your mind wanders, and it will, release the thought. So she just kept breathing us away, breathing us away, breathing us away, until finally we began rotating her head and actually spelling letters. And one day Esther realized we were making conversation with her by spelling letters in the air. And when she realized that, the moment of recognition sent goosebumps through her. Again, no words, just feelings and emotions that let her know the perfection of what she was living, you see. So then for a while, she just thought of us as dead guys that were really smart. She didn't know how to label us. We told her right away that we were called Abraham, but that did not really mean anything to her. We had given her a block of thought that represented what is at the basis of all religions, and that was the word that best represented that. That's why Esther found those words as the name that she gave to us. But we have never called ourselves Abraham. We have never called ourselves anything. We have never offered a word. We just offer a vibration of knowing that Esther sorts through and finds the verbal equivalent excellent for, and then expresses back. And over the years, as we've had this dialogue with those like you who ask with such clarity, Esther has been able to receive and articulate the word, you see. The word doesn't matter. It's the vibration that matters. You can call us anything. It doesn't matter. It's the feeling of us we want you to get a whiff of. It's the feeling of us we want you to recognize.
I want to understand your knowledge. I want to understand. You say you understand how the stream was created. And I can understand where we can go and how we can be eternal. But how did this whole thing start?
Well, none of us can go back that far because we are all forward-looking. In other words, you can't even remember. Have you ever been in the middle of an argument and now you can't even remember where it started? You can't go back to what you were before, and none of us can. And so we cannot find the beginning. All we can do is continue to become. But when we say we've seen it all and we know the stream, we're not talking about going back to the beginning of it in order to explain who you now are. We're talking about being who we now are and seeing you as the extension of that which is us, and seeing you explore the contrast and give birth to an expanded desire, and us embracing the desire and calling you forward. That's as much of the story as we focus upon. That's the part of the story that takes us all eternally forward, you see. We know this, we cannot cease to be. And that was very disappointing to our friend earlier. You mean I have to go on forever? I thought I was worried about death. Now I'm worried about eternity. And we say, we are all eternal beings. That is for sure. And we are liquid love. That is for sure. And the only way that you could ever be a departure from the pure positive energy that is you is by being in human form and finding something to fuss and worry about. And when you do, you can feel by your emotional state of being that you have diverged from the perfection that is the evolving, expanding you, you see. That's the story that we know. That's the story that we focus upon. That's the story that you continue to help us tell by your being willing to express yourself here in physical form, you see. None of us exist to get to some ending place. We exist for the joy of the constant expansion and becoming. There is not something that any of us are attempting to get done. The only reason that you ever even have a desire that is born within you is so that you'll have a reason to flow in the direction of the stream. In other words, expansion is inevitable. It's not necessary. It is inevitable. You have a triad of intentions. The basis of your life is freedom. You are so free that you can choose bondage. Your quest or goal is joy. Because when you let that be your goal, then you line up with who you really are. And when you line up with who you really are, then you have the expansion that is inevitable. Some of you don't line up with who you are until you croak. Some of you line up almost as quickly as life causes you to want it. Doesn't really matter how you play it. That part of life is all up to you. You can hold yourself apart from the expanded being that you are, or you can allow yourself to become moment by moment the expanded being that you are becoming. It's all good.
It seems like we're accelerating a bit here with all our desires.
This is the fastest moving energy that has ever been any time in any time-space reality. This is the fastest energy, and you knew it would be. You saw it as the time of awakening. Awakening to the power of who you are, and awakening to the fulfillment of the things that you've been asking for.
So is there a time in the not too distant future where there will be more of a quantum leap?
Quantum leaps are never encouraged, and they never happen collectively. Ooh, so good to know. Now let's talk about this. So contrast, would you say that contrast is greater today than it has been before?
Seems that way, sure.
From your perspective, and we would agree with that. So greater contrast. So what is greater knowing what you don't want provide for you? Greater knowing what you do want. So would you say that vibrational escrow is accruing at a faster rate? Do you like those terms? Vibrational escrow. It means it's being held for you until you fulfill the requirement of coming into vibrational alignment with it. So can you see that vibrational escrow on a mass consciousness level is accruing at a faster rate than ever before? And do you see that from the analogy that we're offering, and we love this analogy of the stream, it is the most accurate analogy that we've ever found. Do you see that by knowing what you don't want and therefore asking for what you do want, that you are individually and collectively adding to the power of that stream? And can you see that as a humanity, as individual and collective consciousness, that you are becoming this vibrational beingness, that the source energy within you is standing and holding? And can you see how law of attraction is responding to that powerful amassing of desire? So can you feel how the stream is moving? That's that sensation of momentum that you're describing. And so because the stream, and it is, you're right, is moving ever so much faster than ever before, your placement in the stream is more meaningful to you. Have you noticed? That's why the rich are richer and the poor are poorer and the sick are sicker and the well are weller, because it's like a giant magnifying glass is laid on everything that you are. And the result of your vibration is showing up in manifestation faster and fuller and in more dynamic ways, just as you knew it would be. That's why we call it the time of awakening, the time of recognizing consciously me in my physical human form, the absolute correlation between what I'm thinking and feeling and what I'm getting. Isn't it nice that it's becoming more obvious? Don't you like thinking a thought, feeling a feeling, and watching what's happening? Don't you like knowing that you did that? Esther began taking great delight. I did that, something wonderful would happen. I did that, something wonderful would happen. I did that, something not so wonderful would happen. I did that. I did that. I did that. Feel the power. I did that, and now I know what to do about it. I can tell by the way I feel how I'm doing. And I have control of how I feel because I have control of what I think. And I can't think way over there if I'm way over there, but I can think a little. And a little, and a little, and a little. I can improve my vibration little by little by little. And it doesn't matter how fast I do it because it's only relative to me.